get it.
The birthplace of talk radio.
I hear all these idiots and fools and jackasses on radio.
What an introduction that was. Holy God.
My gosh.
Nobody does it better.
Kids, we don't want another incident here, okay?
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre world.
I apologize for that.
All right, go, go.
Don't get the attitude, well, I'm young, I'm invulnerable. You don't want to put your loved ones at risk.
This is Ed McMahon.
And now, he is Armstrong and Getty. Live from Studio C.
Si, senor.
We are in a dimly lit room, deeper than the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications Compound. We are at least, I'm probably 7 feet from Joe and 6 feet from Sean. Joe and Sean might be 6 feet apart.
If I reach for my coffee and he reaches for his tea at the same time. Oh, no!
That's an infraction.
No.
Or Sean and Joe did their big...
Here, I'll put my tea over here.
Thank you.
Sean and Joe did their morning hug before the show started, so...
It was my turn to be the big spoon.
Oh, boy. So disturbing.
Today we're under the tutelage of our general manager.
Shelter in place.
Spreading across America?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
How many places are doing it now?
From the coasts inward. Oh, my gosh, I don't have an accurate count, but if it's not where you are, it will be soon.
And what counts? What counts under shelter in place and what doesn't? I've had been involved in some conversations on that myself. What's important enough for people to leave their homes? What's not?
Well, we were declared an essential business by the government, which is funny. I've always considered us superfluous, but we were considered essential, so here we are.
It's
an honor. Thank you.
I mentioned that last night at home, and my little one hugged me and said, "My daddy's important."
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Every daddy's important. Some more than others, though.
So the official number as of last night is 6,362. If you'll remember correctly, when I said this yesterday, the official number was 4,000. So that's a jump of 36.5%.
Of what now?
Of confirmed cases.
I see.
And then of deaths, it's 108, if you'd remember yesterday at this time when I said it was 80-something. That's a 27% increase over yesterday. Now, everybody knows those numbers aren't even close to accurate. But of what they're measuring, it's jumping fairly large numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The confirmed cases number is going to go up rather quickly as more and more people just get tested.
Sure.
Right, exactly.
It will explode.
Yeah. And that's actually a good thing to see that number going up in a weird way because it means people are getting tested.
Right. And I understand that we will soon be seeing the drive-through tents in many cities, towns, and hamlets across America.
Hamlets?
Soon would be good.
What the hell's a hamlet?
I'm not going to fill in all the blanks in your knowledge. All right? We don't have time. This is a time of emergency. We can't be dragging you along.
It sounds like a little tiny ham sandwich.
A hamlet is a hamlet. You go to a hamlet, you know you're in a hamlet. Welcome to our hamlet, the people say. They're good folks there. Salt of the earth.
Sort of people who voted for Joe Biden last night.
Exactly. In overwhelming numbers, apparently.
Turnout
was surprisingly good, too. The reason I bring that up, because the whole Biden thing is decided, but particularly given the current crisis, I found that an interesting measure of Democratic enthusiasm.
Right.
So we shall see. Of course, everything can change three times between now and November, so I'll be quiet.
Trump did lock up the nomination on the Republican side yesterday. Sorry to Bill Weld, who fought a valiant fight.
He did.
Hung in there clear up to the end, but...
Well, and he really, him being in the race really made Trump, really kept him,
right? Right. How's Trump going to get Bill Weld's crowd to come along to his side?
Right. How will he win over the Weld voter? Has Bill Weld endorsed Donald Trump
Weldies,
yet? What does he want?
The angry Weldies.
Weldies,
out there.
Exactly. Welders, Weldies.
I had something back on Corona. So, when they get the testing going everywhere, are we all going to be encouraged to get tested, like every man, woman, and child?
That's an interesting question.
I don't know the answer to that. I try to know the answers to some of these things. I don't know the answer to that one.
Well, yeah, I suppose it depends how widespread the availability is. If it's like super crazy widespread, which they're looking for, then you would want a random sample of the population or something close to it.
Seems like you'd have to test everybody. I mean, if if the numbers are even close to right, that 80% of people don't know they have it because it's so mild or non-existent in them in terms of symptoms, yeah, you'd have to test everybody, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. So you would I drive the whole family through a drive-thru? Hey, kids, I'm not going to tell. We'll go get... what are the little milkshake things they have at Wendy's my kids like so much? The little chocolate things.
Frosties.
We'll go get Frosties. First, we'll go have them shove something up our nose into a brain pan.
Right.
All four of us in the car.
A swab up the nose and then a Frosty.
Then we'll go to Frosties. And then while we're in the drive-thru at Frosties, the kids will be crying and recoiling in fear because now they're trained to think drive-thrus mean they jab something into your brain pan.
Wow, you have a dark view. First, I think they will be testing people who have symptoms or are afraid they're ill or what have you. Healthcare workers, etc. And by the way, when was the last time you were in the hospital? You and I have both spent a little time in hospitals in recent years.
Actually, like in a bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that important a question.
It's been a long time, though. Very, very long time.
Yeah, for me, it was about a year and a half ago after surgery number one. But nobody.
Did you spend a night?
Yes. Huh. One night. It was absolutely lovely, too. The service was fabulous.
I don't think I've spent a night in a hospital since I was 10 years old.
Mm. Yeah, it's this hospital was actually very good. It's very, very good. I recommend it. I gave it a great review on Yelp. But my point was, ain't nobody who stayed in a hospital over the last 10 years who said, I tell you one thing, that hospital is overstaffed. Oh, my gosh, the nurses are just constantly there for you, and so many doctors. My doctor was by every hour and a half. No, it's... God, I thought he was going to come by this morning. Now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know what's going on. So I say that because the news out now is hospitals are already getting pushed to the limit by the few cases we have thus far in America.
I would like them to be too busy to come by my room. The doctors, you do need to come by your room. All the other people, I don't. I've not been in the hospital overnight, but my wife has and my youngest son, and they come by every 3 minutes. And then tell you to get some sleep.
It would be really good if they could, like, coordinate that.
And as soon as you fall asleep, they come by and wake you up again.
The temperature lady and the blood pressure guy and the meds fella, and they all, you know.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Couldn't you two have talked in the hall and done that together?
Right.
And then I could have slept 10 full minutes. Wouldn't that have been exciting?
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how this all shakes out, I suppose. I don't really want to get something jabbed up my nose, but if I have to, I have to, I suppose. What are you going to do?
Another day, another jab, and that's what I say. Even keel.
Let's introduce...
You know who taught me that? The elders of the Hamlet I grew up in. Got to keep it even, Joey, he told me.
And the Hamlet.
Yep.
That's the way we do it here in the Hamlet. And Tom Brady is going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer by the end of the day, which is about the only news. The only reason I bring that up is it seems to be the only news that has broken through the world of Corona news. To everyone else, that one poked through on a day yesterday.
Joe Montana in a Chiefs uniform thinks Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform will look strange.
You know, I keep hearing references to that about what a terrible decision and disaster that was. He went to the freaking AFC Championship game.
No, wait a minute, that's not what I said.
I've heard sports people write and say that for days now.
Oh no,
making it a mistake to have your career tarnished, whatever, blah blah.
What?
He went to the AFC Championship game.
Sports commentators are desperate for something to say these days.
Yeah, before they ignore them. He counted his success in Super Bowl rings, not fourth place finishes.
He tarnished his what do you call it?
Brett Favre, I think, went to an AFC Championship game and an NFC Championship game with other teams after he left. So come on now, what does that?
Sports commentators should shut up. We can just leave it there. I mean, clearly.
There is, we're introducing everybody now. There's our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Mike?
Pretty good. I went to a warehouse club yesterday just to see what was going on, see what the vibe was.
There you go. Good job of sheltering at home. I think I'll just go wander around. But anyway.
Yeah, I need nothing. Hey. Thanks for see what's up.
Thanks for killing my grandma.
Oh, geez, that's a little much. That's a little much.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe that talks okay in the Hamlet, but that's a little much for the rest of us.
Anyway, so I was talking to some of the employees there, and I actually went there for my mom and dad to get some. They use these, like, Duraflame logs.
You don't need to explain it to me, Michael.
No, but the point is...
They needed Duraflame logs.
Right.
Right.
Right. The reason is, what were they going to do? Get a paper and a match? Like cave people?
Not have a fake fireplace? What were they going to do?
Anyway,
in a balmy climate?
off he went.
Out of the great pandemic. Anyway, back to you, Michael.
Okay. So I asked the employee, so do you have any of these Durfling logs? And he said, no, the crazies got them. And I said, what?
The crazies.
They're now referring to the people as the crazies. And he said, yeah, they've gotten everything. Of course, we have no toilet paper.
Yeah.
No, you know, they have a big sign outside the door now that said, this is the stuff we're out of stock.
Wow.
You know, we have no toilet paper. We have no paper towels. We've got no
Duraflame logs.
No Duraflame logs.
I was at three stores yesterday, and all three of them have an interesting story to them. I'll have to tell later.
Anyway, so I guess people are showing up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then so wrapped around the building, and everything's out by 10 a.m.
Yeah, I think there are about two, three more days of that.
What they were buying at Big Five Sporting Goods in droves when I was there yesterday.
Was it Duraflame logs?
Duraflame logs, exactly. There is Positive Sean, whose smile lights up the room. How are you, Sean?
Doing very well. I am thriving in the sheltering in place. I have never been more happy and felt more connected with the world. But I feel that some people might not be as comfortably introverted as I. So I bring some suggestions to watch the new things that are on my radar. Brand new show called Devs. This is on FX, but you can catch it on Hulu.
D-E-V-S?
D-E-V-S. This is a show by Alex Garland. If you're not familiar with him, he is the director of Ex Machina, which is one of the best movies of the past 10 years. He does a lot of fantasy kind of sci-fi, the dangerous side of tech if things keep going kind of the direction they're going sort of stuff.
All right.
A lot of his Ex Machina and this show both involve a CEO of some tech company that he may be more nefarious than initially led to believe. So if you haven't watched Ex Machina, that's a great thing to watch. Devs, I'm only one episode into it. It's awesome. It's everything I like about these weird kind of quirky sci-fi things. That's what I'm currently watching. I'll be talking about it more on my the One More Thing podcast on Friday that I have
Devs.
Usurped
what's
from
a
you guys.
Dev?
I have seen it's a number of Devons getting together.
Developers, like web developers.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Devons. Yeah, I've seen a lot of lists of things to watch while you're sheltered in place, because a lot of people are going to be watching a lot of shows. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is How Did It Already Get to Be? Why is my phone doing that? Don't do that, phone. It is already Wednesday, March the 18th, year 2020. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Let's begin officially now, according to FCC rules and regs, at Mark.
You're touching your face.
I'm not.
You just touched your face.
I scratched my freaking head.
Which is what?
My head is my head. My face is my face. Face, head, ears, neck.
Who's that?
That is a correspondent from the Stephen Colbert show. As best that I can tell,
Colbert.
She's kind of his, like Biff Henderson from the David Letterman
right,
thing.
Gotcha.
Like it's the kind of
that's funny,
charming man on the street.
Face, head, neck. How does mailbag look?
It's all right. It's not great.
Okay. maybe it should be swamped.
It's about like Tom Brady in a Buccaneers uniform.
All
it's
on
unnatural.
All the new stuff on the way. Stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The ongoing situation with China, who makes all our drugs and started this pandemic across the world. That conversation is interesting. The political forces looking at this as an opportunity. I'm sure plenty of them actually want to help people. There's also plenty of them that think now is the time to get through something I've always wanted to get through and make happen.
Absolutely.
On whether it's your hamlet, your state, or your federal government. So all that stuff should be talked about.
And it will be. Mailbag. Here's your Churchillian quote of the day from Churchill.
He had some of the most Churchillian quotes.
I would agree. BJ from San Francisco passed this one along. Christmas 1937, Churchill gave his 11-year-old godson, the future 11th Duke of Marlborough.
Whatever.
He's way better than the 10th.
Marlborough Light.
He gave him a gold watch with the advice, never confuse leadership with popularity.
Huh.
I think that's a great quote. Jeff writes, hey, guys, all this is going to really mess up the census. Yeah, I think they're going to absolutely hammer us to return it by mail or what have you. So no unwashed census worker has to come to your home.
Good for you for keeping that on your census radar, this whole thing. I had let it slip. My census vigilance.
The activists in the world were all hot to trot and with their ridiculous messages and claims of racism and the rest. And nobody's paying attention now. Mark writes, hey, Jack, a great point about that fellow who accomplished something great under quarantine. It was Newton, wasn't it? Came up with calculus while he was under
quarantine. Something like that, yeah.
Right. Mark in Savannah, Georgia writes, guys, under self-quarantine, mathematician Theodore Kaczynski managed to pull off 16 successful missions and get a 30,000-word essay published in the New York Times. That, of course, would be the Unabomber.
What was the point?
Ted Kaczynski. I don't keep up the great work, he says.
Okay.
Keep up the great sarcasm.
I know what your point is.
That's just sarcasm. Let's see. Mitt Romney's plan. Ah, I'm no math magician, but Mitt Romney needs to dig a little deeper on his $1,000 for every citizen plan. According to the math used by MSNBC, $1,000 for every citizen would only cost the government $330,000.
Awesome.
Why not just give everyone $1 million like Bloomberg should have done?
Bloomberg spent $500 million on ads, U.S. population $327 million. Don't tell us if you're ahead of us on the math. He could have given each American $1 million and have had lunch money left over. It's an incredible way of putting it.
It is an incredible way of putting it.
It's an incredible way of putting it, Brian. You're right. It's amazing.
Except it's more like $1.50. Keep crunching those numbers. Justin from Riverside. Thanks, Justin. That's pretty funny. And it's an excuse to play that clip again. You could have played the whole thing, Sean, but that's all right.
In a crisis, I think laughing at Brian Williams brings us together.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Al Anonymous writes, I work at a law enforcement agency in San Francisco Bay Area County. We've gone to emergency deployment, which means half of the department is working for 2 weeks while the other half is off and has to stay home. This is to ensure that if a shift gets exposed to the virus and has to be quarantined at home, the other half of employees would come into work.
Huh.
It's an interesting plan. All sorts of departments around the country are looking at that staffing model to see how it works. It's an innovation, whether a good one or a bad one, not clear.
We'll bring you up to date on everything that's happening. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So many things going on. A dizzying amount of information going on. Run down a couple of it.
I forgot to wipe down my keyboard. All sorts of randos wander in here and use it.
Randos, like it. They're the worst.
In our next contract, there's got to be no randos. Nobody touches Joe's stuff. Anyway, I'm sure you... There's something more important than that.
I suppose we'll start here. The stock market opened again, and the bell goes ding, ding, ding. Immediate drop. A plunging... Down about 6% so far, 1,300 points, so we'll see where that ends up.
Jack, a sudden plunge in the market is actually a reason for optimism, because... It's not a reason for optimism.
Especially if it's followed weeks of plunges. It's a sign that... Anyway, so that's where we are on that. We mentioned the number of cases are out there, which is kind of interesting on its own. We'll talk about that in a moment. The Democratic presidential primary was over before yesterday, but now it's extra over, I heard somebody say. Biden swept Bernie in all three states, Florida, Illinois, and Arizona, easily. And, I mean, it wasn't even close. And so right. There you go. That's that.
So much for that.
The Senate is slated to vote on the House's commie flu package, which includes expanded paid leave, unemployment benefits. This is limited, but we all know how various things get started and never go away. They get started and get extended.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you get this started and somebody guaranteed it. I mean, this has been documented. Honest to God, books have been written about it. You get this sort of thing started. And then when we get to the end of, I don't know what it is, 90 days, 6 months, however long it's going to be, somebody will make an impassioned argument for why we just need another 6 months.
Exactly.
And the next thing you know, it's there forever.
People are hurting. Sure, give me 5 minutes, I'll whip you up a speech, and you have tears streaming down your cheeks. And so, yeah, these programs become permanent or expand by 10%. How can we be helping out the cocktail waitresses and not the bartenders?
Right.
You know, just then it extends and extends and extends.
And that's not an argument that the government shouldn't step in somehow in a major crisis like this, but I know how this works. And guaranteed people are licking their chops in opportunity to get some of their big, you know, New Deal type stuff jammed in here.
Right.
And hope it stays forever.
Right. Emergency powers are among the most necessary governments have and the most dangerous. So just because you say, all right, you can do this, doesn't mean you then stop watching or think, well, it's all fine. No, just the opposite. You've given them a dangerous power. Watch extra carefully.
Your little voice there sounded like Mitt Romney. Which reminded me of all the texts we're getting, including one from my old college roommate that they just had an earthquake in Salt Lake City, which I didn't even know was possible. I didn't even know they had earthquakes.
No, there are many faults in Salt Lake City, Jack.
Huh.
Lack of available cocktails is one of them.
Separately, back to this, the Republicans in Congress's upper chamber are also working on this $800 billion legislation that would, among other things, issue $1,000 checks directly to Americans. Every adult or every human? Like, do I get four in my house or two? You know?
No, I don't know that.
Is it all adults?
A lot of numbers have been thrown around, nothing settled on, but I'm seeing some sort of version of 1,000 per adult, 500 per kid. So some sort of a fractional of the adults for any kid
I've
in the house.
I've got nine children, if you count some goats and dogs.
they don't, but...
Well, that's for them to figure out.
My son's hairy, horny, and hoofy.
We mentioned this yesterday when it happened as a huge story, which we'll talk more about later. The Chinese Communist Party's Ministry of Foreign Affairs kicked out the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal yesterday out of the country because they don't like the way we're reporting on the virus that they say the United States started. And I'd say more or less they don't like the fact that anybody's reporting accurately on what's going on or went on with the coronavirus.
What's comforting is that the Chinese communists are the only humans on Earth other than a few wackadoo crackpots in America. And please don't email. I don't want to read your wackadoodleness, your wackadoodlery. Everybody in the world agrees it came out of China. So China's just blowing hot air, just reestablishing themselves as congenital liars.
Donald Trump don't trust China. We mentioned a former NFL MVP, Tom Brady, is going to the Buccaneers. We should mention a former NBA MVP, Kevin Durant, who tested positive for the commie virus, the highest and most famous athlete so far to test positive.
Mm. What do you think about the Red Plague?
As a name?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's not bad. I like that.
It's a little overdramatic, but it's good.
I only feel like it's late in the game to give it a new name, but yeah. I like that name if we'd have jumped on it earlier.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get it going. Oh, one more sports-related note. You may have heard 7, 8, now 9 counties starting around the Bay Area, San Francisco, and radiating outward in Cal Unicornia have been shut down. Brian from Kansas City writes, San Francisco hasn't been shut down like this since the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl.
Hey, now!
Hey, Brian, why don't you keep that to yourself?
Hey, now!
That's a good joke.
That's a pretty good joke, yeah. That's the lighter side of the coronavirus, and... That's all, he says.
So,
thank you, Brian.
Back to the Red Plague.
Yes.
There's not enough testing kits right now, and because of that, only those who are showing serious symptoms can get a test. Now, my son is really sick with a cold. It looks just like a cold, although some people say that's what coronavirus looks like in some people. But when we got a hold of the doctor with all the symptoms and everything like that, and there wasn't even a mention of getting test, their main thing was, we'll get you antibiotics or whatever he's got, the medicine he's got to get without you coming in, because they're trying to avoid people coming in because you could get it and spread it.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Well, we all know flu-like symptoms applies to everything.
Yeah,
and everybody gets them. Yeah.
Which is why
they got to get to widespread testing.
All right. So because there aren't enough tests right now, you have to have serious symptoms to get a test, which of course means the delay between infection and confirmation.
Serious symptoms or be on an NBA roster, apparently.
Right. There is some complaints about that. Hey, why did the NBA get enough to test everybody?
And why are their test results coming back in hours and not days like everybody else?
What are their connections? Yeah. More on that in a little bit. But because of the lack of tests around the country and because of how long it takes, there's a delay between the infection and the confirmation, at least 2 weeks long in most cases, and it takes approximately 5 days for symptoms to appear. So if you're the sort of person that, you know, you can't even, there's no point in even discussing the people who don't get symptoms, because what are you going to do?
Right.
But so if you get the symptoms, you've had it for probably 5 days before the symptoms show up, then you go in and get tested, and then 2 weeks later you get the test back.
Right.
So you're talking maybe 3 weeks that you've been infected before you find out for certain that you do. That's a problem. I guess that's why they're telling us all to stay home.
Well, and I understand that's going to improve as labs are coming online and they're getting people prepped to do much quicker turnaround, but yeah, it's terrible. I mean, the lack of knowledge of what's actually happening is pretty troubling.
Yeah, so each new day's results are actually a reflection of what was going on 2 weeks ago, to the best of their knowledge.
Right, which is one of the points Dr. Fauci was trying to make. We look like we're overreaching because the data you're seeing and we're seeing is way out of date.
Yeah.
And we know how these things grow, the mathematics of it.
So that means that even if social distancing were 100% effective from when we all kind of started doing this, they still expect to see a dramatic exponential growth in the new cases for at least one more week. So the super optimistic best case, we all social distanced and didn't spread it anymore at all, it's going to get worse for at least another week.
If it's only a week, I'll be over the moon with happiness.
Oh, sure. That's the super optimistic. Yeah. And so it won't be that, almost certainly.
Yeah.
You know, I might as well throw that in, since everybody likes to discuss the worst case scenario, as Dr. Fauci had to point out on all the talk shows over the weekend. Well, that is the worst case scenario, which is far, if you look at the graph of possibilities, that's the least likely thing to happen.
And so millions of us are working as hard as we can to prevent it.
So I'm not sure discussing that. I mean, what is the point of that?
Clicks, viewers.
Yeah.
Scare
you. It's got to drive scientists, you know, people that are into math and science and that sort of stuff, crazy to deal with the media.
I'm hoping they're too busy to watch that garbage. I'm hoping they're not even seeing it.
Well, Fauci is on discussing it. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So he understands bell curves and probability and all that sort of stuff. Why are you asking me about the least likely thing to happen? Why are we discussing that? What is the point?
Maybe to get people to comply.
Or say bad things about Trump.
Speaking of which, and speaking of testing, there are two major stories that you have probably heard. If you listen to a lot of news, you watch a lot of news, you may have heard these stories repeated 50 times. They are fiction. I heard this morning Joseph Scarborough the MSNBC.
This is some Joe violence.
They have the faulty mathematics. Joe Scarborough ranted on and on, tears in eyes, over a fiction. An untrue story.
Wow.
We will hip you to that.
I want to hear this.
Next.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
As you can see, I'm doing the show from my home for two reasons. First, to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Second, so I can write off my real estate taxes.
So Jimmy Fallon did his monologue in his kitchen with his wife as the audience. We watched it on the couch last night. It was pretty good, and he did a song, and I liked the whole thing. So did it's interesting. So did Kimmel. So did Conan. So did Noah. All from their own kitchens. So
they're all becoming quote unquote influencers. Yeah. They're just filming stuff in their living rooms.
YouTubers. Yeah.
Conan had a funny thing. It's really a little more of a visual, but he said things to do at home when you're doing the home quarantine thing. A puzzle. Puzzle's always a good time. 1,000-piece puzzle, but each individual piece could be infected with coronavirus. So first I'm going to boil each individual piece of this puzzle. Similar to washing your hands, you need to sing Happy Birthday as you boil the puzzle pieces, so I'll need to sing Happy Birthday 1,000 times.
Oh, boy.
And then he starts, and it's like a montage. Now in a French accent. Happy birthday. it's typical Conan fun.
Humor for these difficult times.
Yeah, but anyway. More Corona stuff in a moment.
So, well, this is Corona stuff. So there have been two stories in particular that you and I and everyone has heard 50 times, seen tweeted 500 times, repeated over and over again, and they're not true. Number one, the idea that the Trump administration, whose response, by the way, has been imperfect. I'm not working Sean Hannity's side of the street over here.
On the other hand,
there's been good and bad.
I'll work Sean Hannity's side of the street. I don't know if any other president would have had the guts to stop people from coming into China because they wouldn't have liked the
China.
Backlash.
Right, yeah.
And that might be the most important thing that happened in this whole thing.
It was a brilliant move, and it was early enough it could have saved many thousands' lives. So, like I say, there's been great stuff with the administration, stuff that I'm sure in retrospect we'll say we could have done a lot better. But having said that, no, the White House did not dissolve its pandemic response office. According to the guy who was there, Tim Morrison, who was with the National Security Council, and he said, no, I was there, we were doing it, and the guy I handed it off to is still doing it, and he's really good at the job. There was a proposal to reorganize who did what under what leadership, but that is absolutely fictional, okay? So you've heard that 1,000 times. It is a willful misinterpretation of a budget proposal. It's untrue. And then this, from Kaiser Health News. They mentioned Biden, but Morning Joe ranted on and on about this morning. Here's your headline. Biden falsely blames Trump administration for rejecting WHO coronavirus kits that were never offered. This is mostly false, according to the PolitiFact Truth-O-Meter. The World Health Organization developed a limited number of kits for third world nations that don't have virology labs and lack the capacity to make their own. I could give you the checklist of them in the Americas, Paraguay, Bolivia, Argentina, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, etc. They never offered the United States these test kits. That wasn't the idea. So that whole narrative that out of pride and pluck, and I heard this on MSNBC, the president, he doesn't like accepting international help. It doesn't fit his worldview. So we turned them down when we needed them the most. So it's just fiction.
Did they do that this morning on MSNBC?
Yes.
You heard Scarborough mention this morning?
This morning.
Because we had that PolitiFact story yesterday. So Scarborough is ranting and raving about something that's been nationally outed a full day ago?
Yes.
Seems like a mistake.
Our news fails us on a daily basis.
The MSNBC audience will never hear the other side of it because he had some commentator on with them who said, it's a terrible failing and a rejection. And so either everybody on set had no idea this has been outed, or they're just pretending because their whole point is bringing Trump down. Now, there was a great tweet the other day. Why have Americans been so hesitant to believe the media that this is a serious problem? Well, because you lie systematically. You lie all the time. End of answer.
Vegas is shutting down casinos for the first time since 1963. That's how historic this whole thing is.
What happened in 63?
You know, that's the first thing I wondered. They closed the and it's pretty easy to guess why. They closed the casino for JFK's funeral. You know why? Because Vegas is run by the mob, and JFK was tied in with the mob. That's my belief.
Forget about it.
But anyway, that's the last time they've closed the casinos. And this, you know, there's a lot of historic. Has America ever closed schools for a month? No, I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of.
No.
This whole you got to stay home. I'm certainly not familiar with this ever happening on this large of a scale where the government is saying everybody needs to stay home. Now, San Francisco mayor is prohibiting evictions amid the pandemic. This is a perfect example of the sort of thing that might just be a good idea because people aren't getting paid and they can't pay their rent. On the other hand, this is something you've been wanting to do for years.
Right. San Francisco's ground zero of landlords are bad people.
Right. And you should
put up with anything.
And no matter how far behind they are, that you shouldn't evict them because the cost of living is so high. It's not their fault.
Right.
Yeah, I got a mortgage to pay on this house I'm renting or building or whatever. I need income too. Do you understand that?
No, but you're a bad person if you're a landlord.
But so when the needs of the politicians match up with the pandemic, or at least they're a good excuse, then stuff like this starts happening.
Sure, it doesn't matter if your tenant hasn't paid rent in 18 months and has never demonstrated any means of employment or or whatever. No, all of a sudden there's a moratorium.
You know there's going to be examples of that. You mean I can't invict them? They didn't just get behind because of the pandemic. They've been behind since last June.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Well, you're a bad and a cruel person. So, yeah, we'll have to see.
So I went to, well, I'll save the story of the three different stores I went to for next hour, because they all three have the an individual story that's kind of interesting in what's going on during these times. The Washington Post is reporting how the VA, the Veterans Administration's website, somehow magically the part where it says they'll see civilian patients in times of crisis has disappeared from their website. This is just being reported today.
Yeah.
So it's been on the VA's website for a long time that part of their mission is to see civilian patients in a crisis. Only makes sense. We taxpayers are paying for this. You got the infrastructure. We got a major crisis, a war, a pandemic. You'd think you'd want to step up. And that has been part of their mission on their website. Somehow that disappeared over the weekend, and they're not taking people.
I wonder why.
So the Washington Post is digging into it.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they're overtaxed.
Well, you got to say it out loud. You can't just take it off your website.
I don't know. Sounds like something I'd do. So how can I criticize
it? Well, then as a taxpayer, I would want to say, what the hell?
We just, you know, we ran out of room. So, you know, it's like a vacancy sign. We put up the no vacancy sign. What's confusing about that?
I should read more of this article later. It goes into depth of what it's like in ERs all across the country right now, trying to deal with this when you've got the worry that anybody could be affected, the lag time in being able to test. Anybody that comes in with respiratory problems, the current guidelines are you got to put on all the gear, you got to isolate them. Well, you get like five patients and you're behind.
Right.
Getting all the gear on, disposing of it or cleaning it, throwing it away, you run out of rooms to isolate people. Right. You run out of rooms to isolate the people that were just handling the person. They can't tell smokers from people with the commie flu.
I was just going to say, yeah, smokers with allergies seem a lot like the commie flu.
Right.
So... it's probably worth going back to the beginning in some stuff. In going through many, many, many dozens of emails this morning, it struck me that a lot of people are not up to date in their information on this thing.
Okay.
So we may hit a couple of basics for you if you get the next hour of the show.
So that beginning. I thought you were talking all the way back, like, let there be light.
No.
Not that far.
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, we can if you want.
More on the way. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.